Total Access Show.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
On your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Here's your host, Scott Ledger.
You know, it wasn't that long ago I was talking about you could feel football in the air because it was cool outside and the leaves were turning. I don't know what the hell happened, but man, 90 degrees, we're right back to August. But the Buccaneers are almost at the mid-season, I guess you could say, mark for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as we welcome in yet another player we haven't had a chance to talk to. And we welcome in number 31, E.J. Biggers. Good to see you, man.
How you doing?
How's it been for you being getting a chance to actually play football this year? Last year kind of banged up, but give me just a real quick kind of a synopsis on the first six games for you. You know, you're getting a lot of snaps now, playing in the NFL.
Just a great opportunity to be on the grass again, being with some great guys, future Hall of Famer Rondae Barber, a guy I look up to and watch everything, and he does inside and outside the building. I mean, just a guy, a household guy, does everything right all the time. Then another guy I look up to. I mean, guy is probably one of the smartest players I've been around in the classroom. Does everything that any corner would want to do. I mean,
he's got like the complete package of
everything.
Skills, like the skill sets. What
everything,
you're talking about, yeah.
He can do it all. So, I mean, those, and then other guys like Albert Mack and Denard, all those guys. I mean, they just kept me in the room last year when I wasn't in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I thank those guys, and I mean, we're real close as a secondary group, and like I said, the coaches Raheem, Coach Lake, like I said, those guys just kept me in the room when I wasn't in the room, and I thank those guys for that and just giving me a chance.
What was your shoulder injury last year officially? What was that?
Just damaged nerves. So, I mean, it was just something that couldn't really do anything about. It had to heal on its own.
So there was no surgery involved?
No, it just had to heal on its own. The arm just was, like, numb and
kind of
dead for, like
– like a stinger that lasts forever.
Yeah,
kind
for,
of
like, a couple months, man. I couldn't even lift it. So it was hard, but like I said, those guys kept me in the room when I wasn't in the room.
Well, you came in last year, and, you know, you get hurt. And last year you had – and last year was such a transitional year with, the, you know, Jim Bates, and that was, you know, a new coach and a lot – so much change was happening last year. Do you think that was really kind of good for you to kind of learn? And it had to be frustrating not to play. But what good came from, you know, just being able to be a student last year for you?
Just getting in the classroom, being a young player, I mean, sometimes being thrown to the fire, I mean, hurt some guys. But, I mean, I took it as a learning experience, just being able to watch film, watching our defense, watching other great corners. I mean, I used to be in there every day watching different guys, Champ Bailey, Al Harris, Revis, just watching all those guys film. And just seeing different techniques they're doing and just watch how receivers are playing all the time and just learn the defense inside and out.
You're another guy who grew up in the state of Florida, played your high school ball in Florida. What else did you play for? Mostly cornerbacks, usually are multi-sport guys because they're pretty good athletes. What did you play in high school?
I was just football. But
I
was a quarterback.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, my coach was year-round in high school. That's what we did that all the time. I mean, we're always in football. It wasn't too much time to play in the other sport.
So we're going to look at a little gimmick play maybe on special teams, you know, you run one way and throw the ball the other way, that kind of thing?
Nah.
You don't miss throwing the ball around?
Sometimes, but I did that in college. I had a couple trick plays.
Western Michigan.
In both bowl games that we went to when I was there, I threw a pass. So, I mean, it was fun, but I'm a defensive back now.
When you played your college ball, did you play a lot of man? Did you play a lot of zone? Did you get a chance to really work on your skill set as a corner in college? What was it like for you there?
In college, my first 2 years, we were basically man-to-man all the time. Then my junior year, we got a different defensive coordinator, and he kind of changed it up a little bit. And then my senior year, we went back to going back to a lot of the man stuff.
You obviously prefer man.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about too much.
That's a corner every. That's like the generic question you ask a corner, and they all say, "Of course, absolutely, of course." But you know, you have six passes defense. We were talking about this off the air. We'll kind of go back to the first game. Tlaib's got a service suspension, and they come to you and they tell you you're starting. What was that like coming into that game for you?
It was crazy to hear that, but I mean, it was a blessing, I guess. Just, you know, first game, the season I was coming back. Being able to play and going there and starting just helped the team in any way I could. And just going there and hold down the spot that Talib's so great at, you know, just doing the things he does and just trying to hold it down until he gets back.
Well, Jake DeLone tested you, and you got a nice pick. Nice little aerial thing. You kind of jump back on that. Was your first NFL reception. Where's that ball, by the way? Where is that sitting?
My mom has
it. Yeah, boy. I knew that wouldn't be back in some locker somewhere. But so you get your first pick, and, you know, that had to, like, it's not like one pick makes you feel better about yourself, but it's almost like, you know, check that off the list of things I need to accomplish. Got my first pick out of the way. And then you've kind of snowballed. And now we've noticed that more and more quarterbacks are at least testing you once per game. We talked about this before we went on the air. I know that Carson Palmer did. And you mentioned some other quarter. It was a Saints game. They threw a deep ball to Colston that you were defending. And those were all manned coverages where you didn't have any safety help. And you knew you were going to get picked on. You come into this league, and you're like, oh, who's that Beggars guy? Oh, that's Barber, that's Talib. You know, who's that guy? So it's got to be feeling pretty good that you lead this team in passes defensed.
Just doing what my team asked me to do. If I was a quarterback, I wouldn't go at Talib or Rondé either. So, I mean, I guess I'm the next guy. So, I mean, but like I said, when the ball's, as a defensive back, when the ball's thrown up in the air to the receiver, I mean, you have to do your job, and that's make a play on it. And stop him from catching it. I mean, the coaches and the rest of the team has all the confidence in the world. And I mean, I have all the confidence in the world in myself. So just have to go out there every day and just play hard and finish on the ball. And that was a big thing that I didn't do as much my rookie year in training camp and things like that. The coaches were on me a lot about that. And I knew coming in this
year. Explain finish on the ball. Explain that.
I used to do it a lot. I used to kind of let the receiver catch it, like kind of timid about banging.
You don't
want
to hit him too soon to get a pass interference
and
call.
Just the transition from college to NFL, I mean, it was like, am I supposed to go? Or am I, you know, and things like that. But then, like I said, watching Talib, watching Rondé, watching Albert Mack, Tenard, all those guys, I mean, that's the culture here in Tampa Bay. I mean, you have to go make plays. And in that offseason, just like I said, just watching film and watching those guys, I mean, I got in there, I was like, that's what I have to do.
Your head coach is your former defensive backs coach. So you almost have, you guys have 10 picks as a unit, or 9 as a unit, 10 as a team. You got one by a linebacker. But you guys want to be known as ball hawks, huh?
Oh, that's the thing. Like I said, score, get the ball back in our as a defense, period. And like you said, Coach Raheem preaches it a lot. Jimmy Lake preaches it a lot. Rondé preaches it a lot. He's been around it, and it's the culture of the defensive room. I mean, just score, get the ball back. And that's what we have to do, and that's what we're trying to do all the time.
Ronnie's got to be like having an extra coach on the field.
He is the coach on the field.
Yeah,
I mean, this guy, I mean, when it's 2 minutes, this guy, he brings the book. He's, hey, these are the routes that they like. If something happens, he's like, what happened? He asks you what happened, and he helps you correct it. I mean, like I said, he's a coach on the field. When I'm in the classroom with him, he's always, you guys got that? You guys, you know, anything. Watching film with him, I've never been around somebody like that. So it's great to have him around and great to learn from.
He's been interesting to watch lately. He's almost been like an extra linebacker. He had like 9 tackles the last game. By the way, one of those tackles was for, in other words, the Rams gained 4 yards or more. The other 8 tackles, it's almost like he's becoming a run stopper. And the reason I'm getting to that is because when it comes into the nickel situation, you slide out to his spot, or do you go to Talib's side?
I go to Rondé's side.
You go to Rondé's side. Yes. Rondé comes in. And then you're out on that island, and he's over there almost like, you know, trying to get a sack. He's doing what Rondé does, what we all love him to do. Let's get those numbers out. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, it's 727-461-4620. 1-800-596-BUCKS, second-year cornerback, number 31, E.J. Biggers. You know, I always hear the term closing speed. Give me your definition of what closing speed is. Because I think you have it. That's why I'm asking that.
When the ball's in the air, get there as fast as you can.
That's the real technical explanation for it, yeah. But sometimes, you know, I don't want to say you're baiting. Other guys, you know, seem like, well, the quarterback looks and goes, wow, that guy's, you know, 3 yards off my man, I'll throw it. And then suddenly you close, or, you know, you plant that foot and you accelerate to that football. Is that just most muscle memory? You run those drills over and over and over again. There's no real it looks to us sometimes there's a little freelance going on. Like, you know, this guy's a little open. Suddenly, wow, Biggers closed so quick on that play. Did he know the ball was coming? Or is that just coaching and technique? What is that?
Coaching and technique. Yeah. And like you said, when you get that coaching and you're working on that all the time, you just you got to go in there, and it is muscle memory. When you're doing it every day, different techniques every day, it's muscle memory to you then when you get in the game. It makes everything else easy.
So what's been, as a unit, I mean, this team is, and we'll get into the comebacks and how this team has really kind of found a way to, even when they're starting slow, to find the way to make plays. Are you tired, by the way, of hearing about how young you guys are?
It doesn't bother me.
You're serious? Because, we say it on this side. We have to present the Bucks to the listening audience, and we keep looking. You know, you look down the roster and it says year two, year three, year one, R, year two, year three. What's it like to be in a locker room with so many young players?
Everybody's just gelling. Everybody, great team atmosphere. Everybody has fun. So, like I said, it doesn't bother me. We have fun in the locker room. Everybody is here to help each other. I mean, there's no selfish guys on our team. Everybody's here to help each other, from the oldest guy to the youngest guy on the team.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that. I want to ask you about Tlaib said something to me the other day when we were interviewing him. He says you got to have a almost no memory when you play cornerback. You just have to, whatever the last play was, whether you picked it off, whether you made a great play, or whether you gave up an 80-yard touchdown, you have to have a short memory in the position that you play. Even Gerald McCoy said it from the defensive tackle position. It's almost like if you sit around and dwell on something you gave up, it's going to affect you in the next series or the next play and things like that. And I think that's what we see sometimes when young players are playing any sport. They have a tendency to get mentally out of the game because they kind of kick themselves in the butt. I shouldn't have done that. I know better. But when you guys go to the sideline, and I saw even Rondé, jumps off sides, and it kind of cost us 4 points because they had to give back a field goal. But I also saw him going right through the flip cards again, and then I see you guys talking up and down the bench all the time. What are some of those conversations like? What's being said there?
Just the plays that were run the previous drive, or what, like I said, if we're going to a 2-minute situation, what we should be prepared for, and
what's coming
like that.
Up. Yep.
So just always having your game ready and be ready for the situations that are coming up. And like I said, that guy, he's coaching us on the bench all the time. I mean, if he sees something that we didn't see, or anybody, like I said, if anybody sees anything, I mean, you telling the other guy just in case. It's coming to his side next. You just be prepared all the time.
Guys like Massacoy, Steve Smith, Ocho Cinco, Marcus Colston, starting to play against some of these marquee names in this league. And, you got 6 games under your belt. I'm sure when you're going in, there's a little bit, not nervousness. It's always, I always hear, is like an anticipation. It's more of an anxiety if I want to get my first hit in, get the cobwebs out of the way. So, was it just the Cleveland game, or do you have a little bit of that at the beginning of every game?
The Cleveland game was real bad, I think. But like you said, after you get that first hit, and I probably got in on the first tackle of the game, so it kind of went away pretty fast for me. But now it's just, I treat every receiver the same. Like I said, I told the media today, all receivers go in and they're there to make plays. I mean, each and every one of them can be a deep threat at any given time.
So sure.
You have to treat all of them the same. I feel like anybody can make a play at any given time, so you always have to be on top of your game.
Well, how many times have you been asked to single cover a guy? I mean, because sometimes it's, we'll see the safeties drop back. We'll see your basic, kind of deep shell cover two, whatever's going on. And most of the time I've seen quarterbacks test you, and like we talked about, you were out on that island and you were required to just be a single coverage guy. Each time they ask you to do that, and each time you're running with a receiver and you bat the ball down, your coaches are going to have a tendency to say, you know what? Biggers is doing fine and that specific call. So it's almost like as you gain confidence, they gain confidence in you, you feel? Jimmy Lake and the rest
like
of the coaches?
Like I said, I feel like Raheem and Jimmy Lake has the most utmost confidence in me at any given time. I mean, even if it was a play I got beat on, I mean, I feel like those guys always come, hey, that play's over, and just come back the next play. I mean, if they didn't have the confidence in me, I wouldn't be out there. They'll have somebody else in there. And like I said, when I have two coaches like that, I mean, Dwayne Stukes especially, I mean, those guys, like I said, they're always on me. They want to make it hard for you in practice, so when you get to the games, everything's easy, and you're just playing hard and fast at all times. I mean, those guys stay on me about little things, just trying to make me a better player, Rondé especially. I mean, I love it. I embrace it all the time, and like I tell Coach Lake all the time, man, I want to be great, so whatever it is, I'll do it.
Rondé Barber had mentioned quite a few times in August during mini camps and OTAs and then eventually in camp, he really started to mention your name out loud in public. Nothing against Myron Lewis. He's a rookie, and EMAC has certainly done a lot of things for this football team. But it started to see that you kind of like separated yourself from the pack and really were going to be the nickel guy. When did your coaches really tell you you are our nickel man? Was that in August? Was that – when did that happen? You earned the spot. You earned it. It was a question of who was going to play nickel this year. It was.
I can't even say. I can't even remember. But I I just remember being in there, and when it was time for a Cleveland game, the coaches told me you're going to get the start. So it might have been then, but it might have been before. But like I said, I can't even remember. We were all competing, and it was a great friendly competition. Like
sure,
like I said, everybody, all of us, Myron Lewis, me, Elber. We go at it hard, but at the end of the day, we're all trying to help each other.
That's number 31, E.J. Biggers, cornerback. And I'm not going to say nickelback because there are times when he's just required to start, and he will. He's got a bright future in this league. We'll come back and talk to him. We got to get you guys on the phones as we get ready to take on the Arizona Cardinals. No Kurt Warner, no Matt Leinart. As a matter of fact, there's still a question on who's going to be throwing the ball for the Cardinals this week. There's a team not exactly ranked high in offense. This is a chance for the Bucs to go 5-2. They got to play the game. They don't want to look past anybody, but they've got a chance to take on it. Well, then again, they got that guy named Fitzgerald. I'm sure you've seen him too.
Great guy.
You're going to have nightmares about him rolling around in bed at night?
Hopefully not.
All right, we'll come back and talk more with number 31 and you guys. Let's get on those phones. We've got open lines on all three lines, 813-990-4620, Pinellas 727-461-4620, and 1-800-596-BUCKS. I'm Scott Ledger. E.J. Biggers is our guest tonight. Don't forget Josh Freeman for the Josh Freeman Show tomorrow night. And since they are hitting the road early, the team travels this Friday. There'll be no Buccaneers Total Access Show on this Friday night. We're coming back. Take your phone calls right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
All right, guys, welcome back. Buccaneers Total Access is on the radio. It's Wednesday night. I'm Scott Ledger, sitting side by side with seventh round draft pick. I thought you were about a fourth or fifth rounder, man.
Nah.
What was it, the combine? Would you run too slow? Was it your bench press? What was it?
I didn't go to the combine.
No?
Nah.
They weren't even invited?
Not even invited.
Oh, that's a nice how do you do to the NFL now. That's got to make you feel good, though. That's a little chip on your shoulder right there, no?
You always got to have one.
You got to have, yeah, what's your motivational factors? But we were just talking off air, your general manager. I'm going to call him the king of the seventh round. Sammy Strotter, Cody Grimm, you, Dakota Watson, Eric Lorig, who's played defensive end, H-back, tight end, fullback. Dakota Watson doing great on special teams. You got to earn your stripes in this league unless you're like first, second, and third round pick. So you have some lofty goals for yourself. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just
prove some people wrong is what I'm saying.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, sure.
That's number one. Come in and prove everyone wrong who doubted you. I mean, that's a lot of guys. I mean, not even just seventh round or free agent guys, I mean, or low round picks, even the first round guys, because they still have to prove something at all times. I mean, that's a big goal. Just be in the league as many years as possible and just do, like I said, the guy I look up to the most right now is Rondé Barber. Yeah. Just do some of the things, not the things he did, but just get to that level, I should say.
When you were playing football in high school and college, you were watching guys like Rondé Barber. Were there other – I know you mentioned some guys that you kind of model yourself after that are currently playing in the league. Mm-hmm. But when you were growing up, who was some of the cornerbacks – they might still be playing, but who were some of the other guys?
Me coming out of Miami, I love Sam Madison and Patrick Surtain.
Yeah, they were a great combo in Miami.
Press
yeah.
corners, man-to-man yep. corners. Those two guys were great, and those two are the guys I looked up to the most.
And they got a about the same snout. You're not as big as they are. They seem a little taller. How tall are you?
About 5'11".
Yeah. What's your vertical?
What was it in?
40.
No, I don't think it was in the 40s.
Come on.
30, I don't think it was in the
high
40s. Like 38 or something like
That's
that.
That's not bad.
Yeah, not 40 yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Not yet. And what was your 40, I got to ask?
Pro day was a 4.3.
Yeah.
So.
And you got ball skills. How'd you develop your ball skills if you were a quarterback?
I mean, I feel like all quarterbacks have great ball skills.
Yeah.
Most quarterbacks you see are moved to receiver or defensive back.
Sure.
Most of the guys excel at that position. So I feel like you had the ball in your hand so much, I guess that comes with the position. Yeah,
you get used to it. You just get used to holding all the time.
You get used to getting around the ball.
You guys got 9 picks as a unit. I'm sure there's competition for who has the most. It's not that it's a, you know, it's a bragging. It's got to be bragging rights in the cornerback film room and stuff. So right now I think it's Tlaib has 3.
Tlaib has 3,
and everybody's a little bit behind. You got 1. You know, is there a little contest going on? We always want to know the inside of, like, who's talking smack and who's going, yeah, get yourself a pick before you talk to me and that kind of stuff, you know?
It's not really smack talking, but we just we're all trying to, I guess, get picks and try to stay. I guess it's pushing each other. That's what I should say. We're all pushing each other to get as many as possible. And like I said, that was the culture in the room before I got there, you know, when Coach Raheem and before Coach Raheem. That was the mentality in that room right there. And especially as a defensive whole, I mean, those guys, the great Bucks defense, that's what all those guys did. Got the ball back and scored on defense. And that's what we're trying to do right now.
Cody Grimm, you know, it was kind of interesting watching that Cincy game. He gets the pick 6 going the other way. And then towards the end of the game, Aqib kind of undercuts a route and takes a ball away. And then when Piscatelli got his pick, I thought you floored. It looked like you hammered the receiver. You were kind of standing over a receiver. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Were you saying anything to him?
Nah.
Like, we got the ball,
I just,
stay down?
He fell. I fell over and I rolled over and he was right there.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is going to be our game.
Head on a swivel. Head on a swivel. Yep. When you guys run pick drills and, you know, describe what a pick drill is for listeners. Like, you guys, in other words, you're going to make the pick and switch to offense real quick. Everybody's looking for a block. So you guys run those drills in practice, huh?
Oh, yeah. You have to. Like I said, because our job is to score, get the ball back. So when you do get the ball back, you're trying to score, and everybody else is trying to get a block for you to get you in that end zone so we can celebrate.
It's been a resilient team. You know, young teams normally, Rondé said this to me a couple years ago. He said, you know, young teams find a way to lose. Mature teams find a way to win, but you guys are bucking the trend now. You guys are a young team, and you're finding ways to win ball games where statistically, and we've heard a little bit about statistics in the media lately and your coach, but what do you think it is that you guys especially have been a great second-half football team?
Just finishing. Coach Raheem comes in the locker room. He said, we're going to need each guy for 60 minutes, and that's what we have to do every game. You have to go all 60 minutes, because if you take a couple minutes off, that can lose you the game. So just play all 60 minutes all the way to the end.
Do you find yourself in the first half and the second half? Is it a focus thing? Is it a combination of the coaches and everything? Because remember, you were a Buck last year, but you've played 6 games in the NFL. But you seem, I don't want to say a savvy veteran, I think that would be a little of an exaggeration, but you seem to have poise. Much like Josh Freeman has poise as a young quarterback, you seem to have poise. Is that from your coaches? Where's that? Or is that just your own?
The coaches put that confidence in us. Like you said, they're always telling us we're playing situational football, and when the situation comes up, we're already prepared for it, because that's what we do every day in practice. Each day is a different situation, so it just puts us in a great mindset when you get on the field. Like I said, it makes everything else easy, because it's a 4-minute drive. Okay, it's a 2-minute drive.
Sure.
So you're ready for it. You know, you're not just running out there like, oh, man, it's a 2-minute drive, you know, running out there not knowing what to do. When we go out there, we know what we're capable of doing. We know what we're supposed to do.
You want to talk to E.J. Biggers, jump on the phones, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. We have an open line on each one of those. I just wanted to ask you about, because when we can't see practice now because it's not open to the media, but let's say you have 20 quarters or 15 quarters, and you run various different drills, and that's what I think what you were just talking about, where, what does the coach call it, quick change?
What is it
like called? When there's a turnover?
Sudden change.
Sudden change. Give me an example of what's a sudden change. You're standing there on the sideline, and suddenly he yells sudden change. What happens then?
You could be going to a 2-minute drill.
Sure.
So the offense is going against the defense, and the defense has to make a stop. It's a situation. It's either before the half or it's to win the game. The defense either has to stop them or we have to get the ball back. And like I said, those situations help us for when it's game time. Because there's times, like last game, we needed to get the ball back for the offense to win the game. And it was
Tim Crowder.
Yeah, Tim Crowder. Those guys, I mean.
Great third down tackle.
And there's plays like that in every game. And that's what our coaches preach. Jimmy Lake preached that to the secondary every day. We have it on our board, situational football. And like I said, he preaches that to us each and every day, and muscle memory to us now.
Yeah, exactly. You guys have been able to pitch 3 second-half shutouts, Cleveland, Carolina, and last week. That means, you know, in the first half, everybody's kind of scratching their heads going, okay, we, you know, this isn't going right, or we need to fix this. And suddenly you come out in the second half and you're shutting teams down. I mean, you're literally shutting them down. You know, the Rams last week, 5 possessions, 4 punts, and they lost the ball in that little Stanford play at the end. So they never did anything in the second half. Yet in the first half, they looked like they were dictating to us. Same thing with Cleveland. Carolina, not so much. We had a lead in that game. But what do you think is some of the things, or at least a couple of things, has enabled you guys to do that in the second half of football games?
Just going in there and cleaning up our mistakes, the things that we're doing wrong, the coaches coming in and cleaning it up and telling us what we need to fix, and everybody just buying into it.
Give me an example of cleaning, like bad tackling, bad angles, bad run fits. What do you mean by mistakes? Any at all?
Yeah, anything. <All of them. laughs> Whatever it is. If it's a bad angle, if it's a bad fit, anything it is, the coach are coming in, hey, this is what we have to get fixed. Everybody knows, okay, this is what we have to do. Everybody buys in, and you go out there the second half, either you're going to do it or you're not. And we've been doing it, so just got to keep it up.
You play a glamorous position in the NFL. You know, left tackle is a glamorous position. That's probably the only one on the offensive line. Maybe a defensive pass rusher is a glamorous position. Middle linebacker is a glamorous position. But cornerback, seems like you guys are out on that island all the time. And what in your past, in your upbringing, family, friends, anything you did has conditioned you to – because it's not an easy position to play, because you really are under a microscope. I mean, what has enabled you to, I don't want to say excel yet, but to succeed as a cornerback?
In high school, I mean, I never came off the field, played offense, defense, kicker, punter, everything.
So did you really?
My high school coach, we had about 32 guys on the team, and everybody played both ways. So, and it's still like that to this day. And we were a good football team back then, and they're still pretty good right now. I mean, and things like that helped me when I went to college.
Sure.
And then going to college, I had a tough defensive back coach, defensive coordinator. Great guy, but he was just tough on us all the time. And then come here, and you have some tough coaches, but they're coaches that are teaching you, and, you know, and things, little things that you need to learn that probably you didn't learn before. I mean, I love it.
So you learn, tools. You take that to the next job, you take this from that job, you move to the next job, and
exactly.
Things like
and
that.
Just keep taking the little pointers that they're giving you here and there. And I mean, we have great teachers in this building, and it helps. Like I said, it helps everybody.
This guy leads the team in passes defense. He's got his first pick as an NFL cornerback, and we're going to go to the phones now, start taking your phone calls. Ken, you are up first with E.J. Biggers. Welcome to the program, Kenny.
Hey, E.J., question for you. Is there a new sense of, swagger about the team when you guys take the field on Sunday, now that you guys have a winning streak going? We're coming off of last year. I'm not saying you guys didn't finish up the year better than you started off. But are guys holding their heads a little bit higher and prouder and have a lot more confidence in what they're doing? Can you tell me a little bit about what you're experiencing?
Just coming in training camp and OTAs, it's not just now that we're winning. I think we had the mindset of that as soon as the season ended. It was a new season right then, that next day. We just had to come in, and everybody had to buy into what the coaches were telling us. And everybody in this building just has been buying in and playing hard and, like I said, going hard all the time.
Let me ask you, is Coach Raw, because everybody sees the big smile, we've seen a little bit more fiery Coach Raw this year than last year. What's he like behind the scenes if you're not doing your job? Because everybody says he's too easy on the players. Is he too easy on you guys?
No, he's not too easy. he challenges us all the time because he knows what we can do. And like I said, he challenges everybody. And you either going to stand up or you're going to bow down. And I think everybody on this team is standing up.
I can't remember the play, but it was something in preseason or over here at camp behind the building here. And you had made a play on a ball down near an end zone where all the audience was. And he was riding you because you didn't finish one thing. In other words, you did like 8 things right in that play, but the one thing you didn't do, he's like, is that the kind of coach he is?
Yeah, and that's the thing I told you I love earlier.
Yeah.
I want to be great. So whatever coaching points they're giving me, each and every day, and I don't care if I get the interception. If I did something, if I didn't catch it right, I want him to be on me because, like I said, I want to be a great player. So I'm going to take all the coaching I can.
You're going to – Key was talking about doing an end zone dance because he doesn't have a pick six yet. You know, Rondé would have had a pick six if he didn't run out of gas in the Cleveland game. Did you give him – oh, by the way, did you give Rondé any crap for that?
There's no crap you can give that guy. he's done it all. So.
You ran out of gas. Come on. You didn't say, like, hey, you old man, next time lateral the ball?
No. I was – hey, that guy has done it all. He's got plenty of them. So.
And by the way, I've been told twice now by my producer to remind everybody that Rondé's playing his 200th game this week. 200 games.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
You got six.
That's the mark I'm trying to get to.
Can you picture 200 games in under your belt?
I'm hoping for it.
You hope you'll be able to walk?
Yeah, exactly.
That's another thing. I even asked Styles G. White this morning in the locker room. I said, you know, this guy's getting 9 tackles. He's down there in the box. He's like, you know, he's dragging down. What was the who was the Steeler running back we played against?
Mendenhall.
It was a couple of tackles where he's like grabbing his jersey and yanking him down. And this week we're playing Steven Jackson and Rondé Barber's dropping a back that outweighs him by 40 pounds or 50 pounds. Is this guy just a miracle of science, or is
he fearless, man?
Yeah.
He goes in there and he's gonna give his all every time. He's fearless. It doesn't matter who it is. He's gonna go up to you. He's gonna go hit your head up. He's gonna go at you with everything he has. And like I said, that's why he's a guy that I watch and I'm learning from. He's one, like I said, he's gonna be a Hall of Famer someday, and probably gonna go down as the greatest nickel ever.
Well, you got that right. And talk about a great guy off the field too.
Oh, I mean, great. He's a great teacher.
Yeah.
Great friend. I mean, he does everything right.
Not bad to learn from that guy. Hillsborough, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, it's 727-461-4620 and 1-800-596-BUCKS. The Bucks are going to try to get to 5-2 against the Arizona Cardinals. We're going to come back and talk about studying film and this guy named Larry Fitzgerald. I'm sure you've heard of him. I saw something on Sports Science, and we'll talk about it. I don't know if you've seen that. He was on Sports Science, and we'll talk about that when we get back. We've got an open line for you at 1-800-596-BUCKS and an open line on the other two numbers as well. Oh, man, we're flying. We're flying by in this show. E.J. Biggers is our guest tonight on Buccaneers Total Access. We're coming back right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
To Buccaneers Total Access. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
All right, guys, welcome back. Buccaneers Total Access on a Wednesday night. I'm led side by side with cornerback number 31, E.J. Biggers. You guys, everything's predicated in the NFL on either running the ball or stopping the run. I don't understand. Everything feeds off of that. And you guys have, it's been duly noted that there's been times when haven't been able to get off on third down, because a lot of times those are third and ones and third and twos, because you haven't had as much success on first down. And what do you guys hope to accomplish on first and second down as a defense this week? It all starts with stopping a run, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Every defense in the NFL has that same goal, stopping a run. But, I mean, like Coach Ross said, all those stats and all those rushing yards don't matter if you're not getting an end zone, if you're not winning games. So we've been winning recently, so I mean, just keep doing what we're doing and just go out there and keep playing hard and get better every week.
A lot of times cornerbacks, Aqib Talib was talking about how he really loved Deion Sanders, and he actually gave Deion some props on playing the run, said he was a tackler. I don't remember ever seeing Deion make a tackle, but you consider yourself someone who's good in run support too?
I'm not scared to throw my head in there.
That's
so,
what I'm saying.
I'm not going to say I'm great at it, but when it's time to make tackle, I don't think I back down from it.
Okay, we're studying film this week. You're looking at the Arizona Cardinals. Max Hall is kind of banged up. He was cleared to practice. If not, it's going to be Derek Anderson. Matt Leinart was cut or released. And, of course, we all know what Kurt Warner did in this league. But this is a team that's kind of like, you know, teetering on not being able to find an identity on offense. And it would be, you know, be real nice to shut, not shut them down, but jump on them early on defense, maybe get a pick six or something like that. But you still got to deal with a Larry Fitzgerald. That's a guy that can take over a ball game, huh?
Exactly what you said. He can take over a ball game. That guy, he's another fearless guy, but he's on the offensive side of the ball. He's going to go up any pass thrown his way. He's going to go at it
like it's his
full
ball.
Go. And he's going to go at it like there's no one around him. So he's going to go, like, it's him, just him and the quarterback playing catch out there.
You ever see Sports Science?
Yeah, ESPN. He's upside down.
Yeah. Yeah. I was literally, for those of you who've never seen it, Sports Science is they usually grab, you know, a baseball player and they'll show the ultra slow motion of, you know, hitting a fastball or a curveball or 102 mile an hour fastball. Well, Larry Fitzgerald was hung upside down and had 10 balls thrown to him. Upside down, which means up is down and down is up. He caught all 10 one-handed.
The guy makes some great plays, man.
Do you think that's something you can learn, or you just think that's God gave him those gifts? What, you know, you've been around players that just, that have skills. I mean,
some guys just have that it. I mean, and he's one of those guys. He's an all-around receiver, I think. Great guy. A guy I met in the offseason at a charity event. Great off the field guy. Very, very like soft-spoken guy, but. Yeah. When it's time to play, I mean, he goes at it 100 miles per hour.
Well, you said he goes up and he expects that ball to be his, much like Mike Williams for us is doing that. He's going up and, you know, Josh throws in the ball. I'm going to trust you to come down with that ball. But let's say you're covering Larry Fitzgerald and you're both thinking the same thing when you go up for that ball. Is it about having the position on him if you get that pick, or is it just about my will is stronger than your will?
Hey, that's what it's all about, your will. Forcing your will on your opponent. You got to go up there and you got to figure the ball's mine just like it is his and whoever's going to come down with it. Sometimes it's positioning, but majority of the time, like you said, it's forcing your will on the guy.
When you mentioned training in the off season and stuff, what do you do? What did you do? I know because you were healthy again in the off season. Do you train around here? Because I know you're a Florida guy. Do you, you know, how did that work? What do you do in the off season, I guess? Good way to put it.
After I was done here with the trainers, I went back home to Miami and trained with the guy I trained with before the draft, who got me right before the draft, and got back getting all the strength back. But like I said, the trainers here, I mean, when I went back, I was clear to do everything. So I just got to give a lot of credit to all the guys downstairs, just working with me each and every day, because I was in there each and every day.
Is it Todd Torricelli,
yeah. Kurt, all those guys.
Who's
Shan,
strength
yes,
conditioning guy.
Just being in there every day, man. And they were on me all the time, it was either go 100% or don't even come in there. So it was just something I knew I was going to be back next year. So just go at it 100 miles per hour and see what happens.
Do you do any some guys have different training regimens. I remember Simeon Rice out here running with a parachute on his back at the end of practice, and everybody has little things they do to train. Do you do any yoga, Pilates, anything different, or are you just old school?
Nah.
You're laughing, so that's obviously that's a no.
Nah, I just, like I said, when I go back down to Miami and train with a guy, Pete Bomarito, I mean, it's a great guy. A lot of NFL guys work out down there, and everybody just competing and getting each other better. So I feel like it helped. But like I said, those guys downstairs got me ready for that, because when I left here in the offseason, I was 100%, and I was able and clear to do everything.
Now, you haven't played a full season in the NFL, so it's hard to ask you how your body's holding up, you know, because it's only been six games, and you're a youngin', you know, you shouldn't really have too many broken parts yet. But, you know, how much do the Todd Torricellis of the world really help a young player teach you how to take care of your body? Derek Brooks used to talk about it all the time. I used to tell the young guys, do this and make sure you eat right and things like that.
Like you said, exactly. We have a nutritionist, Kevin. He's telling us how to eat right. Kurt, what to do to get your body stronger. And then Todd, just keeping your body healthy at all times. Stay hydrated. Use the cold tub, the hot tub at all times. And if there is anything wrong with you, come and see him before it gets too bad. And those guys do a great job with all that. And I can speak for him because, like I said, being out a whole year and coming back and – get me right. I mean, I appreciate and I love him for it.
That's a tough thing to sustain an injury and to be limping around the locker room or have a shoulder in a sling or a foot in a boot. And Huggy Bear is a perfect example. You know, I saw him in the locker room today, and he's got the knee in that thing. And did you because you were young in your career last year and you were hurt? But was there discouraging times for you last year at all? Because you wanted to show what you could do. You know, nobody wants to sit on the bench. Everybody wants to contribute. Was it tough on you?
At first, yeah, because you never know what's going to happen. But like I said, right after it happened, Coach Raw, all the defensive coaches, especially Coach Rich, everybody just told me, hey, we're going to need you next year, so just get back and get healthy. And when that happened, like I said, I stayed in the field room. When those guys were on the field, I know I couldn't be out there, so I was doing the next best thing, and that was getting in the film room. And like I said, Rondé, Keeve, all those guys stayed in my ear and kept me in the room while I wasn't in the room.
We taught you how to study film, because you're not just staring at it. You have to, you know, have to look for tendencies. You know, you're not just looking at something. You're looking for things when you're looking. You know, who taught you how to study film?
And, like I said, yeah. One time I was in there by myself, and Rondé came in, and he started watching film, and he just started talking to me and telling me how he started out and things like that, and he showed me what to watch for and things like that. And then Coach Rock comes in there. He caught me in there a couple of times by myself, mm-hmm. and those guys just showed me what to look for. Coach Dwayne Stukes, same thing, just coming in there and just telling me what to look for in receivers, what to look for in defensive back, and different techniques and things like that. And like I said, that helped me tremendously. Just like I said, I stayed in there. When I wasn't in the training room, I was in the film room.
We're talking to E.J. Biggers on Buccaneers Total Access. I'm Scott Ledger. Phone numbers are 813-990-4620. That's Hillsborough. Pinellas is 727-461-4620 or 1-800-596-BUCKS. I noticed you have some rosary beads around you. Everybody draws their different inspiration. Is it a religious? Because Gerald McCoy is a perfect example. I mean, what do you use for inspiration outside of football?
Me, I use my grandmother, my aunt, she passed, and her funeral was actually the first day of camp this year.
Sorry to hear that.
So those two people, my grandmother passed right before before I got drafted, so she never got to see me play. And like I said, my aunt, she passed the first day of camp. I mean, her funeral was the first day of camp. So those two people, and they cared about me so much, and they used to talk to me all the time and just told me how proud of me they were. So those two people I look up to, and I just think about them every time I go out on the field.
How about high school coaches, guys you played with in college? Do you keep in contact with any specific guys, that like anybody Eastern Michigan or any any guys you played against?
Guy I live with, I call him my cousin, Louis Delmas. He's starting safety at Detroit.
Okay.
We talk probably every day. He had and just watching him play last year, he had a great, great rookie season. And like I said, we talk every day. We lived together in high school, played Little League together, played college together. So that's the guy I talk to every day. My high school coach, I talk to him at least 3 or 4 times a week. I have a little cousin that's in college right now, and I talk to him all the time, probably every day too. So, I mean, everybody from my high school, we're real close. So we have a couple guys at UCF and a couple guys at Western Michigan right now, and we talk all the time. And we just keep each other together. In the off season, we work out together. Everybody goes back to the high school, and just try to keep it a close family.
Before game day, let's say I know you're on the road this week, so it's a different ritual. But when you're playing at Raymond James Stadium, take me into your Sunday morning. What's your game day ritual like? What's it like?
Get up by 8, go get some breakfast.
Big meal, small meal?
No, I don't eat too much before a game. I like to be hungry during the game. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just something I do. Come back upstairs, take a shower, get ready, watch a little TV, look through our tips and reminders, and then get ready for get on the bus and go to the game.
And when you get to the locker room, any music you're listening to? I see you know, because sometimes we're on the air early, so we look down on the field. We see guys going through their warm-ups. Is there anything specific? Because guys are superstitious. They have a tendency to do the same thing. That's why I'm asking
you. Yeah, I listen to the same playlist probably every game. Just music, anything from Miami. It's a playlist I have. Put it together. Listen to some music from Miami and just do the same stretches and everything every game. And get ready for the game and come in. And I keep a tie with me, the tie that they wore from my aunt's funeral. I keep that with me for every game.
See,
and
that's
probably the thing I do the most. And I just put that in my locker before every game.
It's like a good luck charm.
I feel like it.
Yeah. When you watch a sports movie, do you have any favorite sports movies that you go back and go, man, I get inspiration from that flick? Because there's so many different kinds, you know, like Rudy, you know, off the top of my head.
Yeah, I probably would say Remember the Titans.
Good, solid flick.
Just guys coming together, just like it's just like you going to college. I mean, there's guys that you never met before, guys from all over, and you just everybody coming together for one goal.
And by the end of the season, it's like you're lifelong buddies.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Well, let's transplant that idea to this young football team that's proving, I don't say proving a lot of people wrong, but let's face it, the Buccaneers didn't get a ton of press. They've been looked over by many so-called pundits and people that comment on the NFL. But each week you pile up a win or have a come-from-behind victory or beat a team you're not supposed to beat or get a road win, there seems to be a really interesting team chemistry. Because I've been doing this 6 years, and I've been around the veteran-laden locker room like a few years ago, and now this locker room is real loose, real laid back. A lot of guys joking around and talking. And I know that happens more when you're winning. It's easier to be relaxed. Mm-hmm. But this team chemistry seems pretty tight already. Pretty tight.
And like I said,
is that from your coach on down? Where's that
exactly.
come from?
It's from the coaches on down. All the coaches have the great chemistry. Like I said, Coach Raw and all the coaches, really, when it's time to have fun, he's going to have fun. When it's time to be serious and time to get down to business, we have to get down to business. So when we're in the locker room, it's time to, you know, you can kid around a little bit. When it's time to go on the field and guys going at it, it's time to go at it, 100 miles per hour.
You get a chance to play some special teams. That's a great part. I think a lot of people, I really enjoy watching special teams because you can see, like Dakota Watson, another guy we just mentioned, seventh-round draft pick. You know, he's going to be learning the linebacker position while he comes in. But Rich Bisaccia is an interesting, very interesting coach. I think a lot of people think he'll end up as an NFL, at least, you know, coordinator, if not a head coach someday. But talk about the special teams units. It's a fiery unit, man. There's a lot of, like, crazy cats. Adam Hayward, I'm just going to throw names at you, but Cody Grimm, Corey Lynch, a lot of guys out there making plays on special teams. What's it like to play with those guys?
Man, it's great to have those guys that are willing to sacrifice their body and sacrifice everything on those plays to help the betterment of the team. And that trickles down from the head guy, Coach Rich Bisaccia. He's in there, and like I said, he's going to put the best guy in position to make a play no matter what. And he's always on us. You know, you have to protect the ball. You have to protect each other. So, I mean, when we go in there and you see a guy like you said, Corey Lynch, Cody Grimm, Dakota Watson make plays, it just fires everybody else up. And, you know, everybody's competing. Hey, who's going to make this tackle? So, you know, guys running down the field trying to make the tackle and, you know, talk a little trash to each other. Hey, I got that tackle.
But, exactly.
You know, but things like that, it makes it fun out there and it makes you want to compete and just keep playing and go hard all the time.
Well, you played on a high school team where you played – you were a kicker and punter, too?
Yes, sir.
You got a decent leg on you?
I probably did back then. I don't know about now.
What was your punting average?
Ooh, probably was in the 30s.
Yeah.
So
and decent hang time?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
A little over 4 seconds or no?
I'm not quite sure. I don't know.
More of a line drive kicker?
A lot of the times.
Did you kick field goals, too?
We didn't even kick field goals. We were going for two every time.
I like that. All right, guys. I want to ask you about the hits in the NFL and the – kind of the fines that have been coming down and stuff. Before we go to break, do you feel that you see guys having to change their game at all? You know, not, you know, thinking to wrap up maybe more than lowering a shoulder. Do you sense that in the first game that you played?
I can't say. Watching our film, I can't really say. Guys are still going hard, but like I said, it's for the health of defense and offensive players.
Sure.
at all times, and just got to be. You got to be smarter, I guess. That's the word for it. But you still have to go out and play as 100 miles per hour because, I mean, that's how you got to this position. And that's the thing you knew how to do your whole career. So, I mean, I think if you change that, I don't think you'll be the same person.
Sure.
But, like I said, just got to be smart. Make better decisions at some times, but you still have to go at it hard.
T.J. Biggers, number 31, making a name for himself as a cornerback on this team. Eventually, 2-0 will retire, and guys like Myron Lewis and E.J. Biggers will be the cornerbacks that will be getting more and more playing time on this team. It's exciting to see a team and a young defensive backfield with already 9 interceptions getting ready to go play either Derek Anderson, who, by the way, has double-digit interceptions, or Max Hall, who's coming off a concussion. This could be a big, big weekend for the secondary of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. More of Buccaneers Total Access when we return right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
All right, the race to 10 continues. What did you think when your boss came out loud? Actually, you know, the coach of the Rays, Coach Madden, was out to dinner with your coach, and your coach said, you know, I'm trying to tell my guys it's a race to 10, and he actually said, why don't you say that out loud? Why don't you put it in the press? And what was it like when you heard that?
I love it. It's another challenge. Like I said, Coach Rod challenges us every day, each and every one of us. And it's a challenge to us as a team, as an organization, everybody. But like I said, I love it, and we're behind on 110%.
Now, the Bucks fans are not going to get a chance to travel with you, but little by little, you're winning them back over. Last year was kind of a rough year for everybody involved, from management on down to coaches, and so much change last year. Now we're starting to see the continuity. And like you said, buying in. I've heard that phrase over and over and over from players saying, we believe in our coach. You know, 50-some-odd, 60-some-odd guys that are all buying into the plan. And in the next couple of weeks, you got a chance, because in November is really when you make your statement in the NFL. December is when you try to make a push for the playoffs. But you guys have got 5 games coming up. 4 of them are on the road. You've been a pretty good traveling team, and I don't want you to look past Arizona. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the team's got needs to get more consistent. At the same time, they're finding ways to win football games. In the next couple of weeks, how do you expect this football team to make a statement to the fans, as in, believe in us? We believe in us. You know what I mean? In other words, what would you say to the fans right now?
We're going to get better each and every day. I mean, that's what we practice for, and that's what each and every game is for, and watching film and studying is to help us get better each and every day. And we're going to go at it 110 miles per hour each and every day, and it's something our coach preaches to us, and we're going to be behind him all the way. And like I said, we're going to play hard for 60 minutes no matter what the outcome is.
That's really how you guys have pulled out the Cincy game. And, of course, this week, real quick, we only got a couple of seconds, but what's it like to stand on the sideline and watch Freeman do what he does?
It's great, man, to see a quarterback make plays with his legs and has an arm like that. I mean, to me, it's amazing.
He knocks defensive ends off him like they're corners.
I kid with him like that. You know? I kid with him all the time. I was like, man, you're slapping defensive linemen down. You know, and that's something I don't think everybody can do. He's a special player.
That's some good radio, man. We're all done.
Thank you.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for stopping.
Thank you.
Go get a win and stay healthy. You got it. EJ Biggers, appreciate everybody for listening tonight. Don't forget, Josh Freeman will be stepping up to the microphone tomorrow night for the Josh Freeman Show. Thanks to Jerry Petuck back in the studio. I'm Scott Ledger, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow night right here on the Buccaneer Radio Network.
You've been listening to Buccaneers Total Access on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.